Welcome to the August 16th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, A Time for Wisdom. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, very good. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. So glad to see you this morning. We want to find out, as we get started in worship, we want to find out who is here this morning. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to take these, to fill them out, put your name there, check the appropriate boxes. That would be very helpful for us as we find out who is in worship this morning. We ask you send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Then we ask that you, when it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful. Members, this is your opportunity to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew and introduce yourself at the end of the service. We appreciate you you doing that for us. We do ask, once it gets back to the first person, if you could take out the pages that were used this morning and put that on top, that'll help our ushers at the end of the service. Reminder about a few things today. We are having children's celebration. That's when our children leave in the middle of the service. We're actually leaving during the second hymn. You'll see there in your bulletin, a blessed assurance. We will go away to do a children's version of worship. We're going to be in adult one today, which is just below the sanctuary. That's where we'll be, but parents, you'll be able to pick them up in the hallway just outside Smith Hall. So you won't go anywhere different than you normally do. We'll meet you out there. But that is for all children. You'll go out these doors and go downstairs with me to the end of the service. Reminder, we are having our church-wide pool party today at Town and Country Pool, just down the road a little bit. We are going to meet from 4 until 7. Everybody is welcome to come, hang out by the pool, bring your lawn chairs, bring either a side dish or a dessert to share. We will provide the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the drinks. If you could, we will start eating around 5:30. And then we'll have our life contemporary worship at 6:30 out by the pool. And we'll be done by 7. It's going to be a great night together. It's the highlight of what I always look forward to at the end of the summer is getting together for the pool party. So we hope that everyone makes plans to attend that this afternoon from 4 until 7 at Town and Country Pool. Let's see. What else? And that does impact, we were having a cookout this Wednesday night for our Wednesday night church-wide Bible study. We're going to postpone the cookout so we don't have two in 1 week. And we're going to put that to the first Sunday of the new year. So you'll just make note of that in your schedule that we will have Bible study. We'll have sandwich and salad supper at 6:30 this Wednesday night, and then the Bible study just following that. Let me see. One, I got a note from the children that were here this past Wednesday. They met for Bible study while the church was meeting up in Smith Hall. They learned about Cain and Abel, and they learned about giving their very best to God. And they made this beautiful arrangement of flowers, and they want me to remind you that not only should they give their best to God, but we should all give our best to God. And that's what living this life for Christ is all about. So that's a great reminder for us, for all of us. I thank you for the children. I thank you for the leadership and for what a great job that they did reminding us of what it's all about. Let me see. Mary, come on.
I wanted to take a moment to remind you, we have got our 60th church anniversary coming up. And part of the festivities of that weekend, the first weekend in October, is that we are going to have a celebration of the arts and celebration of the talents within our congregation. And I got up here last time and I said, I know we've got people that work with fabric. We've got people that work with wood. We've got people that make jewelry. We've got people that are photographers. We've got people that are writers. We've got people that are songwriters. And we want all of you to be involved. And we are going to have an evening where we celebrate the talents that God has placed in this congregation. We're going to exhibit some visual arts. We're hoping that we have those that write and sing who will be willing to contribute as well and to have a little coffee house time together. And so I hope you would pray and really ask God if that is something you could help contribute to. And I am so looking forward to it. If you have questions, come ask me. If you're interested in contributing, come ask me, and I'll give you a little more information in depth. Thank you so much.
Okay, I think that's all the announcements. You'll find others listed in your bulletin under upcoming events as well as opportunities for the week. So I hope that you just take a few moments and read those after worship just to find out what's going on in the life of our church. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pads a few moments ago. If you're a guest, we are so pleased that you are with us. And we'd like to give a gift to you just to let you know a little bit about us. So if you're a guest, these ushers are going to come back down the aisle. Just raise your hand where you are, and they'll be glad to give you a packet. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and the newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. We appreciate so much your presence in worship this day, and we pray that God will reveal himself to you in an amazing way and to all of us. For that's why we are in worship, for God to reveal himself to us and for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And let us prepare our hearts to do just that.
Celebrate. Yes, celebrate. That's why we're here, to celebrate God's goodness, to thank him for his love, to praise him for never giving up on us. Celebrate. Celebrate the God who has redeemed us, the God who gave himself for us so that we might know him forever. The Creator who gave himself for his creation. Celebrate our God who has sustained us along the way. The same God who parted the Red Sea, calmed the raging storm, is the God who wants to know our troubles and bring us through them with a sense of peace. Celebrate the God of promise, the God who promises never to leave us, the God who promises to supply all of our needs, the God who promises that if we seek him, he will be found. He has promised that when we gather together, he will be with us, and he's with us here and now. He wants to hear our joys, our sorrows, our concerns, but even more, he wants to hear our praise. So celebrate. Make a joyful noise and praise him. Open your hearts and hear him. Let him change you from the inside out. Celebrate him now in this place. Celebrate him with your whole life forever.
Will you pray with me? That is exactly why we're here, to celebrate our God and King. Thank you, Father, for drawing us to this place. We invite you to come into this sanctuary. We need you to be here. We need you to be here so that we can raise our voices. We can lift our lives to you, to worship you, to celebrate all that you have done. So we invite you to come. We invite you to be here. Listen to us as we worship you. Hear our prayers. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So why do we share Scripture as part of worship? The first and most obvious reason is that we do it to honor God as part of our worship of Him during this holy hour, to read from His Word and let that move us how it may, which is the second big reason that we believe that God's Scripture and Holy Word has meaning for us and reason for us, and that it will speak to us as part of our worship as believers in Christ. Our scripture readings come each week from the Revised Common Lectionary. And if you don't have a Revised Common Lectionary sitting at home that you read on a weekly basis, the lectionary tracks the Bible from start to finish on a calendar-like basis. If you were to read through the lectionary, most days have an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading included, and if you were to read through the Revised Common Lectionary, it would take you through the Bible. Every single verse of Scripture in the Bible would not be included, but in one year you would go through most of the major writings of the Bible. So our Scripture readings come every week from the Revised Common Lectionary. Most of the time, Raymond also preaches from the Revised Common Lectionary, which he will today from Ephesians 5. But that's just a brief word of background, because you know the question tends to come up sometimes: where do the Scriptures come from? Sometimes they don't always tie neatly in to our worship theme as much as we would like it, but a lot of times we're blessed that it does tie in some way or another and has a special meaning for us. Today's reading from the Old Testament comes from Psalm 11. the entire psalm, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. And if you don't have your Bible with you, feel free to use a pew Bible. There should be one located near you, which is also in the New International Version translation, as I'll be reading. This is from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And from the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? God of wisdom, God of salvation, God of compassion, God of love, as we lift our hearts and minds to you in worship today, we're so thankful for the love that you have shown to each one of us here in many different ways, many different powerful moments and movements of the Holy Spirit, the way that you have blessed our lives. We thank you, Lord, for loving us in a way that is beyond what we can comprehend. We thank you for loving us in a way that is perfect, that is unfailing, and that is forever forgiving. We thank you, Lord, for knowing our hearts and knowing our struggles and our successes and the highs and lows of the past 7 days. We thank you for being with us and not giving up on us, but continuing to stand by us, Lord, even when we may have felt alone on our own behalf. You have been with us and you have watched over us. You have known our needs and our wants, our pains and our joy. And we thank you, Lord, for knowing us the way only our Creator can. Lord, you know that we're all dealing with things right now, good and bad and easy and difficult. Lord, help us to turn those over to you. Whether they be physical needs, Lord, that just seem out of our control and are frustrating to us because we seem to be affected and brought down and pained because our bodies aren't working the way we'd like them to work, and we're struggling physically, Lord, which can cause us to struggle in other ways. Lord, we lift that to you. It's out of our control, but it's not out of your control, and we thank you for that. Lord, for those of us who may be struggling spiritually and have kind of veered off our path, and we've walked farther away from you than maybe we even thought we could, Lord, we know that you're there. Help us to take a step towards you this week, Lord, and for those of us who are just really hurting and a little bit lost and off track, Lord, step closer to us if you can and draw us into your presence and help us to feel you more closely and experience that relationship that we so desperately need. Lord, for those of us who are struggling in other ways with stress and other pressures that job and family and relationships and friendships and different life struggles can bring. Maybe it's struggling for physical needs or other things, Lord, help us to lift those to you. We know that you're in control. And we know that you've called us to trust in you and to not carry our own burden, but to have enough faith and enough confidence and enough belief in you that we can give it to you. And we do that, Lord. Lord, for all that you are, for all that you mean to us, we thank you. We trust in your love. We need your love desperately. We thank you for who you are to us and who you are to our brothers and sisters that are sitting beside us this morning and who we will run into this week. Because we know, Lord, when we step outside of our own selves, that we're not the only ones dealing with things, that those who are beside us, they're dealing with some significant things as well. We lift them up. We thank you for loving them, for loving our families and our friends and our neighbors, and even loving people who may not love you. Lord, help us to embrace your love for ourselves this week and lift ourselves up to you, and help us to embrace it for others and lift them up to you as well. Continue to be with us. Continue to not give up on us, Lord, and continue to give us strength, Lord. Help us to be who you created us to be. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we read, study, and reflect on your scriptures, help us to be attentive to the words and sensitive to your spirit. Please use this time to shape us into the people you need us to become for the sake of your mission to bring hope, healing, and reconciliation to the world. We thank you for this opportunity that we can come now and share with so much that you have so richly given to each of us. Bless these gifts as we give them back to you. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him
on a perfectly ordinary morning, a morning that was much like every morning of his 12 years, a little boy named David finds himself up against an extraordinary choice. He could stay in the drab, brown, and gray, barbed wire fence enclosed prison that he had known every day of his life, or he could choose to escape. He was tempted by the promise that a man that he had loathed and feared, the camp commandant, and David is lured to embrace the great unknown, the outside world, everything that he did not know. And before he was allowed to escape, the commandant had told David he had to go to Denmark, because in Denmark he would be safe. This is the narrative framework for a remarkable book called David. It was retitled, and many of you may have read it, as North to Freedom. Can I see some nods? Any remember reading this in grade school? Okay. The story was written by the Danish author Anne Holm, and I had a chance to read it as a fifth grader at Valley Hill Elementary School in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Now, at the time that I read it, I really related to the main character. David in the book is 12 years old, and at the time I read it, I was 11 years old. And I remember as we read through that, many of us saying, well, we could do that. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, we can do this. But the book had an incredible impact on my life for reasons that I'll go into in a few minutes. But I remember details. It has great power. It has great clarity. It is a children's book, but it has lessons for children of all ages. After the original book was entitled David, it was translated into English and entitled North to Freedom. And then after the movie came out 2 or 3 years ago, there was a re-release of the book called I Am David, which follows the title of the movie I Am David. And the movie I Am David, well, it's like a lot of movies. You know, you get the book and you go, wow, what a powerful book. What a great story. And then you see the movie and you go, oh, wow. Were they reading the same story I was? And the movie's okay. Don't get me wrong. I have several quirks with it, and I'll share those with you too. You know, I'm pretty open about things like that. But the main thing is the movie falls terribly short of the full meaning and the impact of the book. For a number of reasons. Truth be told, the American title itself, North to Freedom, I think is kind of a lousy title after having read the book, because the initial set of instructions that the commandant gives David is to go south. So I wasn't getting that whole north. There was a disconnect there. North to Freedom, he's going south. Well, eventually he does go north. But the biggest thing I have is the title North to Freedom implies something somewhat superficial. And the book is anything but superficial. For a children's book, it's incredibly in-depth. It explores some far more profound questions than just physical freedom. David's journey is one of self-discovery and a self-imposed restructuring of his broken spirit. You know, the story is told in the third person, but we're invited into to his mind. We're invited into his journey. As he travels across the country and he begins to see that literally the world come alive. He gets to see the glory of creation. Things that we would take for granted. Things that he discovers were music. Beautiful music. How to play. As a child, he never knew what play was. He gets to discover the taste of an orange. For the first time, the feeling of being physically clean, washed clean, understanding different languages, colors, the glory of creation, and the different colors, the blue sky, the green grass, those things we just take for granted. It's a story of a boy's journey toward discovery about creation, and at the same time, the journey away from and the realization and dealing with the awful truths of his past. And we're invited along on that story. It's a story of fidelity and grace born out of the oppression of a concentration camp somewhere in the Balkans. The message is one of new life. Life marked by courage. Leaving behind brutality and embracing courage. And if you did not read it as a child, again, if you haven't figured it out by now, I really like this story. And if you didn't read it as a child, you need to read it now. I just so happen to know that the older American title, North to Freedom, is available for as little as 15 cents, plus shipping and handling from Amazon. The new title, I Am David, is available for as little as 91 cents, plus shipping and handling, of course, from Amazon. I invite you to get a copy of it and read it. It is worth the read. It's a very quick read, but a beautiful story. And I'm not going to ruin the story for you, for if you haven't read it, but I do need to give you a storyline, because there's a point to all of this rambling about this children's story. The basic storyline is he's afraid that it's a trap. He's invited to leave, to escape, but he's afraid it's a trap, and he's so afraid it's a trap that it cannot be this good that he almost misses his opportunity. But he does get over the fence, and he is forced to learn to live or die based on his wits and the people that he encounters along the way. David comes from an incredibly tough situation in the story. He has been imprisoned with people who have gone insane, who have lost hope, who've gotten sick, who have died from disease, who've been shot by the guards. But he knows nothing of the ambiguities of ordinary life. the ordinary life that he is going to have to embrace if he wants to survive. And then he finds himself alone and frightened. And David has to find a way to deal with his fears, to gain courage. And in those times, he thinks back. And when he's facing trials, he recalls some of the prisoners would talk about an unknown deity. This deity's name was God. And as he flees the terror of his past, David comes to understand that God is a vital component in his meager arsenal of survival skills. But which God? David remembers hearing from the prisoners about a God of green pastures and still waters. The God of another David that lived a long time ago. And in the first prayer that young David offers to his new God, David says he has chosen to believe, and he asks God's help to remain free. David has made a conscious decision to live. And that leads me up to annoying feature number one. In the movie, David, at the advice of a kind bread baker he meets, puts his trust in Saint Elizabeth, the patron saint of bakers. Now, with apologies to all the bakers in the house, whether it be by profession or by your last name, you know, the patron saint of the bakers falls terribly short, in my estimation, to the God of green pastures and still waters. And it's that God that David chooses and begins praying to in the book. The movie is engrossing, and Judy Edwards will know that I was deeply engrossed watching this movie to the point when she came by the other day, I didn't even hear a knock on the door. I was sitting there going, wait a minute, that's not like the book. That's not like the book. So there are some annoying features. But as the story unfolds, David begins to face great dangers. He runs into a lot of obstacles. And he turns with increasing frequency, praying to the God of green pastures and still waters. And along the way, his life is transformed. No longer a silent, emotionally fraught fugitive, he begins to shine with hope for the future. And he finds out that growing into the dream of freedom is a growth in wisdom. His path illuminated by the wisdom of God. And that leads me to annoying features 2, 3, and 4 about the movie. You see, if the God of green pastures and still waters is downgraded to a patron saint, then naturally all the prayers that David lifts up and all of his discoveries about prayer get omitted from the movie also. I really didn't expect a whole lot more from Hollywood, but that was a little bit annoying because to me the story is about his growth in trusting in the wisdom of God. And then there was that beautiful lesson on sacrifice that's in the book about how you sacrifice yourself for others. It wasn't in the movie. And then there's the ending. The ending in the movie is not at all like the ending in the book. In case you can tell, I'm frustrated. It wasn't at all like the book. It missed a great deal of the point. And that is on the fact that wisdom increases as we place our trust in God. It sounds really biblical, doesn't it? Matter of fact, it is. As Jason has already made reference to, our lectionary reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. It's actually a very short reading. Usually our lectionary readings are a little bit longer than this. But it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. And it goes like this. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're not positive. We can't say with absolute certainty who wrote the letter to the Ephesians, but we know it was either Paul or one of his students, because it is definitely Pauline in its nature. And we can infer from the text some very basic understandings about the place that this letter had in the early church life, in the first century. You know, the Pauline author takes a great deal of pain to exhort readers to specific kinds of behavior, as if such behavior was going to impact significantly the course of their lives and the course that their lives would take. He talks about seeking godly wisdom. He talks about making music in your heart, singing, make music in your heart to God, and giving thanks for everything. Wonderful words. Believing in the life, death, and resurrection and ultimate reign of Christ within, over, and in spite of the powers of the world. If you believe that in the first century, that was kind of treacherous ground. That could be hazardous to your health, as they would say. Because the most parlous times bring persecution. We know that. That's usually a given. So depending, if you look back to the first century, depending on who was ruling in Rome, Christians faced one of two options. Usually it was either kind of a tacit tolerance or an outright hatred of Christians from the throne. And in such a world, Christians needed guidance. They needed guidance for these kind of letters. We need guidance today from those same letters. And if we're going to survive, we need to be able to call on wisdom. Wisdom that is much greater than anything that our wit might suggest to us. Christians remain a part of the world. We know the world very well. But we're still called to be a part of that. It's that whole in, not of. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been promised new life, set free from the fear of death. Believing that God has removed the death penalty of sin through the sacrifice of His Son. So those who read the letter to the Ephesians must be transformed by the knowledge that's in the letter, but by the relationship also to the subject of the letter, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the author of Ephesians gives those kingdom seekers in the first century, as well as the kingdom seekers of the 21st century, some simple common sense guidelines. He says, in evil times, caution is necessary. Caution. It says alcohol can be a problem, so avoid it. Instead, turn to intoxication by the Spirit. He says defy the ways of the world and instead sing songs and psalms of praise and thanksgiving to God. In times of trouble, he says seek the wisdom of God, not artificial means of escape, not coping mechanisms, but the wisdom of God. And as we face uncertain times, as life throws us curveballs, you know, we don't know the future. We know that God knows the future. But even as we travel that road, we can do that knowing, choosing to believe in God's wisdom that will transform us from people who might fear persecution and death into people who shine with hope for the future, whose paths are guided by God's light, by God's wisdom. You see, that's what the world's looking for. The world is looking for something that will give purpose and meaning to life. Something that will give hope out of hopelessness. And we have the answer. It's our responsibility to pass that information along, to invite people into a relationship with God. Again, verse 15 and 16, be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. What are we to learn from the life of David in a children's book? What are we to learn from a lesson from Ephesians? How are we to live as faithful disciples in a world that seems increasingly unable to hold back the forces of evil and terror? Can we seek out a spirit-filled life of freedom from the past, or is Or is there something in the past that we feel enslaved to that we need God's wisdom to free us from? How can we surmount the obstacles thrown in our way by powers hostile to our faith in Christ, living in a world that is much like the world that the letter to the Ephesians was addressed to? How do we do all that? Well, the passage from day to day, from year to year, from generation to generation, is not seamless. It's not predictable. But we don't face those times alone, and we don't face those times without guidance. We have the benefit of God's Word. We have the benefit of being able to rely on the wisdom of God's Word. The wisdom of still waters and green pastures. The wisdom of new life in resurrection. The wisdom of giving of ourselves just as Christ gave of Himself. And then we're sent out into the world in the stubborn hope that kingdom time is on its way. That's our faith under the mercy of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, God of green pastures and still waters, we open our hearts to You. For we know that You have all that we desire. We know that You have all that we need if we but turn to You. Father, forgive us of the cheap substitutes that we place in our lives. Anything that we seek to cope with life instead of leaning on You. Father, we pray that You would forgive us of the times when we seek to control our lives instead of leaning on You. Father, forgive us of the times when we miss opportunities to demonstrate to others what an awesome God we serve by choosing cheap substitutes. Father, we pray that as Your children, as we look into our heart, and as we hear the bidding of the Holy Spirit even now, correcting us and encouraging us, that we would surrender all that we have and all that we are to You. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit that walks beside us, leads us beside still waters, restores our soul. Father, truly our cup does run over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all of our lives as we walk with You, and in Your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we've talked a great deal about what sacrifice means and how God gave His Son as a sacrifice so that we can have a relationship with Him. I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ into your own life. If you don't want to come down here, that's okay. Catch me after the service or give me a call this week. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and maybe you've been plowing along and trying it your own way, you're frustrated, you're aggravated, you're tired, you're all of those things, distraught, God hears you. And he's offering an invitation for you to come back to Him, to put your faith and your trust wholly upon Him. And I don't know all of your circumstances, but I can tell you He won't fail you. And so this morning, He may be leading you to a point where you come back to Him and put your trust and faith completely in Him. You can come pray here at the front. You can certainly pray where you are. I think we'll have some prayer warriors that will be moving as we begin singing. You're certainly welcome to come here and pray. I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you, whatever your decision would be. I also want to open the doors of this congregation. It's a very welcoming congregation. We would be glad to talk with you about membership at College Park Baptist Church. There are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to discuss that with you. But whatever your decision is this morning, we want to make that. Take time as you read and sing the hymn. Be serious. Be serious with God. Be open and honest with Him. and do time. Take time to work with God and to hear His voice this morning. I want to invite you to stand down and sing with me. This morning, I want to encourage you to turn to people around you, give them a word of encouragement, give them a hug, a handshake, let them know that you'll be thinking about them and praying for them as brothers and sisters in Christ this week. It's one of the most important things we do as a church, amen? Encourage one another. Make disciples. Encourage and love one another. I also want to invite you to come to the pool at 4 o'clock. Bring food. Yeah, we get a yeah from the front row. All right, come and be with us as we fellowship this afternoon. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for this day, the blessings of a beautiful day. Help us to take time to notice the colors, the beauty of Your creation. And Father, help us to understand that's just an incredibly small part of who You are and how magnificent, how awesome You are. Father, we praise You and we pray that our lives would be an offering of sacrifice for You. For it's in Your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.